Take your Bible, if you would, please. 1 Kings, in your Bible. 1 Kings, chapter number 17, please. 1 Kings, chapter number 17. This being our month of faith, standing firm on faith, standing firm in the faith, also it being Thanksgiving, I have struggled with how in the world can I tie these two great subjects together, faith and thanksgiving. So I thought I'd preach to you today on this thought, faith to be thankful. Faith to be thankful. Sometimes I go through events, circumstances, and situations that I have a little difficulty being thankful for. The other day I passed one of our staff on the highway and they were making conversation with one of Burleson's finest. I thought maybe that that policeman wanted this person's autograph because they are so popular at Joshua Baptist Church. And when we got back to the office, I asked her, were you thankful? They said, very much so. I wanted to ask her, did she act like she was thankful when she was so thankful? Sometimes we've got to reach farther than our sight, much farther and deeper than our grief, to be obedient to God when He said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. And I have news for you. Sometimes I find that rather difficult. I find it rather difficult being thankful for our last election. I didn't say which one, but the majority of them. Amen. So I thought I would try my best today to bring you a message entitled Faith to be Thankful. I read a story recently about two young men who were out hunting. And they crossed over the fence. They walked a while. And they heard the familiar roar of a Brahma bull. Now, it takes a lot of faith. Because when you cross a fence and you hear the bull, you don't know which field he's in. You know if you just got into trouble or got out of trouble. And suddenly as they walked farther out in the field, they discovered they were in the wrong field. And coming up out of a ditch, out of a gully, foam and whatever else comes out the bull's nose. And he is a mooing and a chewing and he is mad. And he begins in hot pursuit after these two hunters. They begin running as fast as they can. One of the young men said to the other, "You need to pray. The bull is gaining on us." The other said, "I don't know how to pray. Besides that, I'm Baptist and I don't pray in public." And they are picking them up and putting them down, headed toward the fence. And the bull is gradually gaining as we speak. And the one says, "Please, John, pray. If you don't pray, we are in trouble." And John says, "Well, I only know one prayer," as he picks them up and puts them down. And he said, "Well, pray it." And he said, well, I heard my daddy pray it, so here goes. He said, oh, Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful. Today you may feel like you're in the wrong pastor. Today you may not even know which pastor you're in. But my God did say, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I read to you today a familiar story out of the Old Testament. Please find your place in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. And I'll begin reading, if I could please, in verse 1. And please follow along now as we read. The Bible said, and Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up. Your brook ever dried up? And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Dry Brook University. Or the old book we used to read when I was in seminary, The University of Hard Knocks. I read Ephesians 5 and 20 yesterday. Have you read it lately? It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. And to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read Philippians 4 and verse 6 yesterday in preparation for the message. Be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. As I read 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, God tells me to be thankful for everything. I'm sorry, I'm having a little problem with that. I know you're not, because I see your halo. And you're in church today, and you're an independent Baptist. If you're not, you're wondering what one is, or you wouldn't be here. But I read 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. It says, in everything, give thanks. I read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Don't worry about anything. Jobs being lost, 10% job unemployment in America. Some of you right today sitting in where you're sitting, your job is either gone or it's looking shaky. And then we read verses like this and we say, well, Lord, we're having a little bit of problem. And then we read Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, enter into every situation with thanksgiving. Whether your home is falling apart or your kids is tearing it apart. Whether your dog has just tore up the couch, Or the cat won't wag his tail when you feed him the milk. Enter every situation with thanksgiving. I want you to know something. Am I the only one having a problem with that? Am I the only one that struggles with trying to be obedient 100% to the will of God when He says in everything give thanks, in every situation with thanksgiving, always be thankful, for this is the will of God? I hope me and Jim are not the only one like that. You see, there are several things this morning I'm having difficulty with being thankful for. I'm really having trouble being thankful for the recession that we're in. Knowing that the billions and billions and billions of dollars that has been stolen by the upper echelon in our government. Without any prosecution or persecution or retribution. I don't know. If I don't pay my taxes, they come and get me, garnish ye my wages, what they are, and I'm off. But folks in financial institutions can embezzle billions of dollars and get scot-free. And then the taxpayer pays billions of dollars of bailout when it don't look like they're out. I have some problem being thankful for that. Does anybody here have a problem with being thankful for that? I have problems this morning with being thankful for fuel prices. Especially if you have a diesel. I have a problem with lying, greedy politicians who look straight in your eye at that television camera and say, "My name is Honest Abe. I would not cut down the cherry tree, and if I did, I wouldn't tell you if I'd done it." I have a problem with that. And the Bible says I'm to be thankful. The Bible says that I'm to be thankful. I have a problem being thankful for sickness. Last night late at home, I got a phone call from California. My good friend, Dr. Chappell, called, and Larry Jr., the youth director of the great church in Lancaster, yesterday afternoon was diagnosed as having third stage cancer in his bowels, and they took him straight from the doctor's office, straight to the hospital, operated on him yesterday. 20-some-year-old young man, winning souls, loves God with all of his heart, has a young family. I struggle with thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I struggle with sickness in our church. I visit the folks and they're hurting. The doctor says I can't find out what's wrong. Well, they're hurting. I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. I struggle with the jobless. I struggle with home foreclosures, with sin, with half-hearted devotion on God's people, with people coming to hear me preach and misunderstanding because I am preaching. I have trouble with people saying, "Tell it like it is." When I tell it like it is, they say, "I wish you told it like it wasn't." And so they go find the church of their choice where they'll tell them like they wanted to hear it instead of what they like it is. I struggle with those things. And then I thought about this month. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then I thought last night real late, maybe there's a correlation between this faith thing and this thanksgiving thing. Is there anybody here? Maybe there's a correlation between these two things called faith and thanksgiving. I honestly believe that sight and emotions are poor decision makers. Sight and emotions is what most folk base their eternal and social decisions upon. And I find that many times when God's people dive to the bottom of this old world, they come up with more rocks than they do jewels. And faith and thanksgiving pleases God. And when God is pleased, the windows of heaven are open and the blessings of God fall. Most Baptists remind me of the fellow in Budapest who came to his preacher. He said, "Preacher, I'm living in an unbearable situation." Preacher said, "Well, tell me about it." Said, "We have 9 people living in one room. And preacher, I don't know how in the world I'm ever going to bear this ugly situation that I'm in." The preacher said, "I have a suggestion." He said, "What is that?" The preacher said, "Move your goat in with you." And the guy said, "What?" He said, "Move your goat into your one-room house with all 9 folk in it, and then come back in a week and let's talk again." You got it bad, have you? Things are rough at your place. Things are unbearable, you say. So the man reluctantly left. And at the insistence of his preacher, he went out back and untied his old stinking billy goat and moved it into the house with him for a week. He came back to see the preacher in a week. And the preacher said, "How is it going at home?" He said, "Preacher, that is the most miserable place in the world. That goat has stunk everything up in our house." Preacher said, "Go move the goat out and then come back and see me in a week." You get the drift? In a week, the fellow came back with a smile from ear to ear. He was just so happy and filled with glee. And the preacher said, "How's he going?" The guy said, "Marvelous. There ain't nobody in our house but us 9 folk." Got it bad, have you? I just don't know how I'm going to thank God in the situation I'm in. I'll tell you how you do it. You do it by faith. You do it by faith. I don't know if you realize this or not, but I believe with all of my heart, faith and thanksgiving go hand in hand. The Bible said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." You see, the Bible talks about all kinds of faith. It talks about the faith of a grain of mustard seed, the smallest seed in all the world, just a small grain of mustard seed. And the Bible said, if we have just that much faith, we can say to this mountain, "Be removed," it removes. It talks about in Luke chapter 7, great faith. I don't know about you, but I'm somewhere between that mustard seed faith and great faith. I'm not at the great faith yet, but bless God, I know one thing. 42 years ago when I got saved, I enrolled in God's boot camp. Now, you military folk can identify with boot camp. I can't. I had too many kids too fast. They couldn't support me. So they said, "You stay home and send your taxes and we'll fight." But I'm not too sure. But I've heard some things about boot camp. And I don't know if this is true or not. But I think boot camp is probably the closest thing to brutal discipline that we know anything about. Now, any of you guys who went to boot camp, do you know anything about zero tolerance? Were you thankful when that drill instructor, who was 5 foot tall in all directions, walked into the barracks at about 3 o'clock in the morning with a smile on his face and said, "Hey, sunshine, it's time to get up." And I know all of you recruits just bailed out, hit the ground, stood up at attention with a smile on your face and said, "Man, I'm glad you're here this morning." Brutal discipline. Unending work for 6 to 8 weeks. They didn't ask you what time you'd like to get up. They didn't even suggest that you suggest that you might suggest what time you might want to get up. They had unending work. Rise early. Lights out. "Well, I'm a grown man. I know when lights are going to go out." Did you pull that little caper? Did you tell that guy walking around that's eat up with a whole bucket full of mean, "You ain't getting up"? Nay. You were in boot camp. You are about to experience the most regimented training known to mankind. Crawling under machine gun fire, climbing ropes, jumping ladders, running through mud. Ain't it a lot of fun? And all the time, you're just thanking God for boot camp. Cold fear and acute loneliness. Just like to hear Mama say, "Breakfast is ready again. Get up when you want to. What's the goal?" Self-will is being stripped from you. You potential soldier of America. No longer do you do what you want to do when you want to do it. That's why you went to the barber shop. You have no choice of what side your hair is parted on or if it's parted at all. You don't have no hair. You're not the boss no more. Your self-will is about to take a slow exit from your life. They learn to follow the leader without question. Am I about right? The results is the soldier grows stronger, more disciplined and mature, transformed, if you please, into a ready battle soldier. One that's ready to fight to the death if need be. Transformation. That's what boot camp is all about. Say, by the way, you that have been saved, have you read Romans chapter 8 lately? Would you please turn there with me just a minute? Romans chapter 8, please. Please, just a minute. And I know what time it is. I'm doing well, don't you think, Brother Jim? Good, I thought you might think I was doing well. Boot camp, transformation. From a young teenager, most generally, 17, 18, 19-year-old kid, transform that young man into a mature, disciplined, fighting machine. That's what boot camp's all about. Well, what this thing, Christian life, what's it all about? Romans 8, verse 28. The Bible said, "And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, and whom He did foreknow," also did predestinate or predetermine to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Question, please. Are you enjoying boot camp? Where you are, who you're with, what you're doing, God's in control. And if I realize that God is in control and God only works with me for my good to conform me to His purpose, then it makes no difference where I am. I can be thankful that I'm where God wants me as He making me what He wants me to be. That's the reason He said we need to offer the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Whoever said it's going to be easy? You just need to believe that God's in control. Is that not so? Now, let me take the story that I read a little bit a while ago and let me make a spiritual application in about 8 minutes. Quickly, back to the book of 1 Kings. I want to take this morning this particular situation and particular portion of Scripture in the Bible, and I want to talk with you just a minute. And I want to discuss with you just a minute about Elijah enlisting in Camp Dry Brook. He's been drafted, if you please. He didn't volunteer. He's been drafted into God's service, Elijah has. And God told him to go down and confront wicked Ahab and tell Ahab, because of his wicked and vile sin, that he's going to pray and the earth is going to be without rain and the sky is going to be dry for 3 years and 6 months. And Elijah walked up to Ahab, looked at his face, pointed his bony finger in the king's face and said, "You are the one that's troubling Israel." Elijah the Tishbite has just enrolled and enlisted in Dry Brook University. I don't know if I ever told you that this Christian life is going to be just a bed of ease. Ever told you that? Lied to you. I mean, they lied to you boldly. Look at this, if you would, please. Number one, I want you to look at the place God ordained. In verse 2 through 4 in 1 Kings 17, the place that God ordained. I read for you in verse 2. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." Notice, if you would, please. God is trying to transform Elijah the Tishbite to Elijah the man of God. Did you get that? God is trying to transform Elijah the Tishbite to Elijah the man of God. I don't know where you're from. I don't know your background. I don't know your education. I don't know the environment that you were raised in. But whatever it is, it's not where God wants you. God saved you to transform you from what you were to what God wants you to be, and that's to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. And the Bible said when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, He counted all joy that He might do a work for you. Why in the world do we think it grievous to return the favor to Him? The place God ordained. Notice the word Brook Cherith. look in your Bible sometime or your Bible dictionary, and you'll find that the cherith means to be cut off, and that sounds good, or to be cut down. To be cut off or to be cut down. You know what God did for Elijah? He cut him off from everybody else that he might cut him down to size. He got him away from all of his cohorts and got him away from all of his so-called friends. Got him away from all the family. Got him down there all by himself. He cut him off from the world, cut him off from his resources, cut him off from every supply, cut him off from all the provisions, cut him off from his job, cut him off from everything. Said, I want you to leave everything you got, go down yonder by the brook, and I'm going to take care of you down there. God cut him off that he might cut him down to where he needed to be humble before God and be a man of God and not a proud, egotistical, look what I've done individual. God cut him off that he might cut him down. The place, yes, the place, the name, Cherith. Notice the nature of the place. Verse number 3, the Bible says the nature of the place. I don't know where you are today, but I'll bet you God knows how to get you where he can cut you off so that he can cut you down. And you say, well, that didn't happen to me yet. Well, just open the door when it knocks, because it'll be there soon. And you'll find out, looking up through the bottom, that you're just another sinner saved by grace. And if it were not for the grace of God in your life, so would you be an addict and addicted to some dumb sin in the world. Amen? And so, notice the name of the place, Cherith. Notice the nature of the place. In verse number 3, the Bible said, and turn thee eastward and hide thyself. Hide thyself. The nature of the place. There wasn't nobody else there. It was a hidden place. There wasn't nobody there but just Elijah and God. God is not going to deal with you in a crowd. God deals person to person, eyeball to eyeball. You say, well, I've never been there. You will. You will. It may be on a sick bed. It may be in an empty room and the family gone. It may be in a car coming home with a pink slip in your hand and you don't know how to walk in and tell mama that you just lost your job. You say, but my job is secure. There is no security in this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And I want you to know, Elijah, if I'm going to make a man of God out of a Tishbite, I'm going to have to cut you off so that I can cut you down. I have to get you off by yourself someplace so that I can talk to you face to face and you can realize where everything's coming from. And then the necessity of the place. Look at verse 4. The necessity of the place. You say, preacher, I'm having trouble thanking God for where I'm at. Hey, God chose the place. God knows the place. Now notice verse number 4. And it came to pass, thou shalt drink of brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Underline that word there. 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 That's God's place for Elijah. That's God's place. No other place could be pleasing to God in Elijah's life that day except there. It's there was God's will for his life. No matter how much doubt, no matter how much anguish of soul, no matter how much of a resolution, no matter how much of reservation, no matter how much of I wish I'd. No, there wasn't no wish I. That was God's chosen, ordained place for Elijah because God could deal with him there. Where are you at today? If you're not there, you're in the wrong place. If here's not there, you're in the wrong place. God only deals with his people there.
Is anybody here? Let me ask you something. If you're there, regardless of what's going on, you ought to be able to thank God. Because you're there. Because if you're there, He's there. Amen. And I'll bet you those Hebrew children in the fiery furnace could sing, I could stay all night. You know why? Because He was there. They felt sorry for Daniel in the lion's den, and Daniel was feeling sorry for everybody else that wasn't in the lion's den. You know why? Because He was there. And I want to help you today, regardless of what's going on in your life. You can thank God that you're there, and He's there with you. And that's why in everything, we can give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's 11:23. And that's my first point of my four-point message, in which I'm going to jump 2 points and close with this. Not only was the place ordained of God, verse 2 through 4, but the promise God offered, I slipped that in last night, the promise God offered, I will take care of thee there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And I have the brook running there. Although it's not rained in 3 years and 6 months, and every other brook has dried up, there's not a creek in all of Israel. There's not a well that gives water in all of Israel. Elijah, before the foundation of the world, I formed, created that brook just for you. And if you'll go there, Elijah, I promise you there will be sustenance, there'll be water, and I'll promise you twice a day that the tow main wagon will show up and blow its horn and feed you meat and bread. God's promise. Well, in closing, if you're there, it would be a lot easier to be thankful for where you are if you realize Philippians 4 and verse 19, when God promised, and God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. Our problem is when we're there, we look at the problem instead of the promise. We look at the situation instead of the one who ordained the situation. Are you there? Are you there? Let me ask you, are you thankful? Well, it's my health. It's easy if you be thankful when I'm sick. Yeah, I'm thankful. Well, I'm not, and you are. I bet you that's what you think. Preacher just walks around praying everybody else in the church gets sick as long as he don't get sick. No, when you suffer, I suffer. You say you don't do that. I tell you, when you suffer, I suffer. I ask God, honestly, daily, to put me 1 foot into your situation. Keep 1 foot out of the situation. That I might not feel sympathy, but I might be empathetic with your situation. With 1 foot in your situation, maybe in your hospital room, I can feel what you feel. But with the other foot outside of your situation, I can pray intelligently that God might accomplish His will in your life. You don't understand that because you are not a pastor. God's ordained the place. God made the promise. God had the plan. I close with this. And the problem God orchestrated. Look at this. Verse 7. And after a while, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. You know, I see folk come in our church and they walk around here and they say, boy, thank God for the running water. Thank God for this God-sent place. There ain't no place anywhere near this place, anywhere like this place, so I guess this just must be the place. And we just walk around here drinking, living water. Then one day, we wake up and the brook is dry. Of course, you know that's God's leadership and you join in the church of your choice. Well, I ain't getting any water around here again. Maybe you don't have anything to put it in. Maybe you just need to hang on by faith. Maybe you just need to not worry too much about wherever things are going. And just trust God and be thankful for the place you're at. You see, Elijah was exactly where God wanted him. Remember, God is sending Elijah to school. I hated school. My grades reflected it. I guess I could have done better. But boy, I had more important things to do. But you must remember, at the brook, God is training a prophet. Now, I don't know which brook you're at. God may be training the next great preacher in America. I don't know how your family is structured, but God may be having you to train the next great evangelist in this world. Don't give up. Don't complain. In everything, give thanks. Don't run off someplace with your tail between your legs like a whipped puppy and say, well, a preacher's just too narrow. I think God was kind of narrow. I only got one place for you. It's now or never. Elijah, go down to the brook. The birds will be there. The water will be there. And Elijah woke up one morning and the birds or the creek was not there. He's building a man of God. But if you read the next chapter, because of Cherith, Elijah could stand on Mount Carmel and trust to God against unsurmountable odds. 450 false prophets and 400 prophets of the grove, and all of them against Elijah. And Elijah stood on that mountain by himself with faith and thanksgiving to God and prayed, and fire fell from heaven. Listen, fire don't come before Cherith. Boot camp become before fighting. University before graduation. You are being conformed to the image of God's dear Son. I don't like it, you say. Well, one good thing about it, God can change it. I said, God can change it. I close with this statement, and it's 11:30 right on the button. Your sight must give way to faith to be thankful when your brook dries up. And your brook will dry up because God's wanting to see what kind of attitude and faith you have when your brook dries up.